Lord, I thank you once again that you've given us your Holy Spirit to be our teacher. We recognize that we're in need of being taught, and there are many things probably on each one of our minds as we come this morning, many things that have distracted us, but this is a time that we want to just present ourselves to you and say, speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. And I ask that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit, that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be acceptable to you, and that your people would be encouraged and edified and emboldened to share the love of Christ with other people. And I thank you for my friend Vivi, and I ask God that you'd fill her with your Holy Spirit to speak to each of the hearts of the people here. So we now look to you to be our teacher. And so give us ears to hear what you have to say to us in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I have with me a very special guest this morning. Vivi is, I met her, I think, 2.5 years ago, personally met her at Berkeley, California, where we were involved in a project reaching out to international students through Bridges International, which is the ministry that I'm a part of. I actually met her by telephone even prior to that because I interviewed her to write a story, and she has really a great story. And so without stealing any of her thunder, I asked Vivian to share her story with you today. But she's part of a group of, I think, 9 or 10 others from the Sacramento area who are involved in reaching out to international students. And they've come up to Portland this week to help me and others to reach out to international students on the campus of Portland State University and some of the community colleges in our area. And before I forget to tell you, I want to ask you, if you were available during the early part of the week, midweek, they'll be leaving, I guess, on Friday, and if you'd like to come to Portland State or to any of the community colleges and just get a taste of this. I mean, you know, you see the miracles when you take those steps of faith and obedience. You hear about the miracles, you know, when you're in places like this, but when you get to see it and even be a part of what God is doing by going. And so I would just encourage you to be thinking and praying about that, and if that's something that you think you'd like to do, just come and see me afterwards, okay? So without any further ado, I want to introduce to you Vivi, my good friend, okay?
Hello, everyone. Hello. Hi, my name is actually in Vietnamese. I am an international student from Vietnam. I came here 4 years ago. So let me tell you my full name, but you don't have to remember it. It's Hồ Hoàng Thảo Vân. So yeah, like I said, you don't have to remember it. So I go by Vivi because it's easier. And also, it's a really dear nickname for me. Like Jim was sharing earlier that he did an interview with me through a phone call about 3 years ago, just a few months after I came to Christ. So the story that he wrote about me, that was one of the first story that it was really touching for me, that he took a different spin on it. When I first read the story, I was like, is this actually about me? I remember telling him the details, but the way he put it together, it's opened such a different pages of my life that the more I go about it, the more I walk with Jesus, the more I realize that, yes, I see myself in this story that Jim wrote about me 3 years ago. So I'm here today to share with you guys a bit more of stories. I don't call it my story anymore. I call it God's story through my life. And just a really honor of being here today. I've been talking to a different group of people, but never being in front of a church. So if there's anything that I would say wrong, and again, I'm an international student, so please do give me that grace that my English is not perfect and I'm very nervous. So yeah, just give me a lot of grace. And so coming here today, and like I said, I did share a few story in front of crowds before, and I always wrote some sort of outlines. If anyone have ever do public speaking, you know, it's super essential to just focus on the point, deliver a message, and make sure that you stay on the right track. And I was trying to write an outline for today for a real long time. And up until this morning, I was not able to write one. That it does not say that I'm coming here very underprepared. It's more that God gave me this sense that I'm here to tell a story, and I want it to come genuinely from what I'm thinking right now, from interacting with you guys, from what God wanted me to share, not according to an agenda. So there will be a message, but again, I'm not having an outline. And the story today I want to share is about love. We all church people here, and we all know that, God is love. But how does that play out in each one of us' life? It's very different. It's very unique. And for me, it started way before I know God. The cool thing about coming to Christ and become a Christian for me is that after I became a Christian, not only I realized that God is right here, right now, He's walking with me, but eventually also to realize and look back into my past when I was having no idea who Jesus is and realize that He was there too. He was there the whole time. I just didn't know. And today when I want to share about love, I want to share not just when I felt loved and known by God, as in when I know Him, but when I have no idea who He is, He still loved me and He's still there for me. He's still carrying me through. So way back, I want to talk about my parent a little bit. I'm an only child, so I have that privilege of being very loved and pay attention by both of my parents for my whole life up until this point. But my parent has not always had the best relationship. In fact, right now they are divorced. But when I was in 11th grade, my dad got into a motorcycle accident that he broke 5 ribs. And during that season, my mom took a job that she stayed away from home about 5-6 hour drive. And she was in that job for about a year and a half. And this accident happened in the middle of that transition. And so what I was really surprised to witness is my mom would come home every single Friday night and took care of my dad, change his medicine, his clothes and everything every single day of the weekend. And she would leave like very late on Sunday to be at his job. This would be really typical in a very loving family relationship. But my parent marriage has always been broken, as far as I know. So for me to witness that, it was really shocking. She was really sacrificing, and knowing that she's not getting anything back, because their relationship already broken up at that point. In fact, as early as I recognize and remember things, their relationship was already broken. When I was in 6th grade, they already separated from each other in a certain level. And my mom start to depend on me emotionally and searching for the thing that in a marriage between a husband and wife that emotionally and mentally your spouse cannot deliver, like just the pride and just the emotional support and everything. She start looking and depending on me. And so When I was 6th grade, I came home that school year with a really, really bad school report. And she broke down in tears. She cried about it, and I don't know how did the conversation ended up, but she said, I remember this sentence and it scarred me for the rest of my life. I love my mom dearly, but she once told me that I don't want you. And so to hear that is really hard. But then within me, there is this voice saying that she doesn't know what she's talking about. She loved me. She does want me. She's just saying this because she's hurt and she's broken. And so, sixth grade, I grew out of my comfort zone and being this person where my mom can depend on me. So I stopped telling her about my problem, about all of my, the thing that I went through. I just dealt with it on my own so she can come and she can share with me about her problem so I can listen to her. So back to when I was in 11th grade and she just exposing this love and sacrifice to my father, who she has nowhere near to have a really good relationship with. They stick with each other because of the culture of my country that very looking down on divorce, and especially their children, that parent divorce, that they would look at the children and say that you are not raised properly because you are without one of your parents. So there must be something fundamentally wrong about you. So that was the reason that they stick with each other for a very, very long time. But the way my mom sacrificed herself, and I realized that way later on in my life when God revealed it to me that I was taking that after her as well, is that she tried to love someone to satisfy her own thirst, that I want to be known and to be loved, and if nobody doing it for me, I'm going and do it for other people. It sounds very nice. It does. But you would end up even more broken, even more hurt than ever before. Because you would eventually become more and more thirsty. And I, without being conscious about it, was modeling after her for a very, very long time. I was trying to look for brokenness and trying to love on them and trying to care for them. But once when there is this alert that, oh, this person is starting to depend on me emotionally, I just took off. It was really scary for me, because who do I have in my life that gave me such a role model that this gonna ended up well? So I trying to find people that I can love and do my best to care of them, but then I always ended up being scared and just back off and just run away. So when Jesus stepped into my life, he taught me the real love, the true love that it never runs out. Not only it never runs out, but it loves people to the point that they will be able to sustain themselves. Because I'm not loving them so they could be depending on me and they would keep feeding off my cares and my attention, but pointing them to Jesus. So they themselves can also turn around and love the other people around them. And so it took a long while to get to that point. It's not an easy journey, but when I think about it, the story of the Samaritan woman, we all know this story. And you guys probably know the story better than I do. But when I read that story, my perspective, the way I receive it, the details that my focus drawn me the most, is I think it's not pressed much enough. That for me, that story, when the woman, the way she responded to Jesus, she actually really cared. She asked him, how on earth is a Jewish man talking to a Samaritan woman? She actually trying to protect him. Like, we do not associate, and if somebody saw me talking to you, they're gonna look down on you and you're gonna be in trouble. So please keep distance. She's not doing that for herself. And the five husbands that she has, in this nowadays, when we look on that, wow, you associate yourself to fine men. Horrible you. But she was trying to love on them, to define a relationship between a man and woman and call them your husband. You're trying to really loving and caring for this person, trying to sacrifice your life so they can actually feel loved. This is not just her going around and getting into a bunch of relationship or just meeting a lot of people and feel good about herself. That's the way I see it. And so this woman, when she approached Jesus, her thirst is way more than what is appear on the pages. She wanted to be known fully and loved. And why do I feel it that way? It's because when she'd run and tell people in the town, the first thing she tell them is not that I talked to a Jewish man, or he did this miracle, or he's this wonderful person. That's what we would do when we introduce our new friend to our family, for instance. We'll say, wow, like, he earned this degree, or he made this much of money a year. But for her, the detail that she chose to say is that this man who told me all that I ever did, she exposing herself, and that gave her the certainty that this person is a wonderful person. He know me fully and yet love me deeply. And that was what I looking for. That I wanted to be known because of all these years of trying to hide myself and hiding my trouble and hiding my own issues so I can love on and taking care of other people. It's all wrong. Because how can I love others if I don't know how to love myself? What is the source of love am I giving out? It's human love. And not only it eventually running out, but it also deprive you from enjoying other things in your life. You just ended up depending on this person and focus solely on the person that you're interacting with. And life is so much more than that. And what God has in plan for us is so much more than that. It's a giant, grand plan. And another thing I identify with this woman is that she point every single person to Jesus. She come and tell, she had the courage to tell her story, her testimony. But then her first word is like, come, see a man. And not that, hey, look at how he transformed my life. Believe in this. No, he said, come and see this man because of who he is. And these people obviously ended up, we believe in you and your testimony, but we're gonna go and see that for ourselves. And we're gonna believe that it's no longer because of what you say, but we heard, for we have heard ourselves. We know that this is indeed the Savior of the world. They experience this for themselves. And that's what we're here for. As an international student, I came here not expecting to be a Christian, for sure. I expected to earn a degree and to make a good life out of it. But God took a different spin on it, and here I am. And I came to Christ, and I share my testimony and trying to be as vulnerable as I can be, time after time that I share my story. But that just not enough. I can tell my story for the rest of my life, and people can identify with it more or less. But there's something about walking alongside with them and actually hear their story and look down to this book together and see how can God's word apply to your story. And not just how God worked in my life, that's how exactly how he's going to work in your life. It doesn't happen that way. I was so blessed that when I came to Christ, there was a female mentor available. She was raising 6 kids, and when she met me, it was finally all of them. The youngest one start going to high school, so she was actually available to mentor me. She actually the wife of my team leader, and he's here with us today. And so she started walking alongside with me. So we start meeting every week for Bible discussion to help me to grow in my faith. I was like, this is nice, but I wonder how far is that go? I wonder how long we're going to be meeting for. Well, we've been meeting for the past 2 years, every single week, unless one of us is out of the country. And so it really brought me to the point that where is the source of all this energy, all this love, all this attention, all this care that she got it from? Okay, so I know about Jesus. I invited him into my life. I agree with you. There's a God, and he came into a human form, and he died, and he rose again, everything. But how does that change my life? How does that necessarily change anything that I want to be doing, every single decision I'm going to make for the rest of my life? Well, this woman came alongside with me and started walking with me and started hearing my story and looking at the Bible and say, how are we going to resolve this conflict? How are we going to navigate your living situation, your career, the education that you're going to receive? How are we going to do this? By looking at this book together. And so, soon enough, I realized that this is something I want to do too. I would like to come alongside with another younger females and just love on her and walk with her. And I did. So after I got my associate degrees, I decided to be an intern with Bridges International. And when Jim interviewed me up at that point, I was nowhere near that. But that has been a year ago when I came and joined staff. And it's been a really wonderful 12-month of journey that I'm actually continuing. I'm doing a second year intern and transitioning to full-time staff. It's just being fed by this love. You want to get more and more and more of it. Not to feel more full, but so you can share more. And so we are here this week so the international student in Portland would be able to have that opportunity to not just encounter Jesus and invite him into their life, but to experience the love that would want to make them turn around and love on other people, and especially, and I know this with all my heart, their own family. It's harder to love our own family than we think it is. We're born into it, so we assume that this is it. You're my mom, you're my dad, I love you. There's nothing gonna change that. But sure, how are you gonna show it? For me, for a long time, was being obedient. That's what my culture tell me. That's what other people around me doing. But the Bible said, obey the Lord your God and honor your parent. And so for a long while, there's this conflict. How do I obey God and honor my parent if they are not believer and there's this whole gap in between? Everything is possible in Christ, isn't it? So I learned, and it took a long while, but my mom, she's not yet a believer, but she saw the transformation that God have worked through in and through my life. And when I, a few months ago, when I told her that there's this opportunity for me to continuing being on staff and possibly join full-time. I was expecting her to say that, no, you need to get your bachelor degree. Go back on track. 1 year straying away is enough. But she told me that, I have never seen you being happy or doing anything else in your life. So whatever you're doing, just do it. And she didn't stop there. She said, I asked her before I asked her that question, that, do you believe in God? And she said, I'm still thinking about it. But after she told me to continue with my involvement with ministry, she said, the miracle that God did in your life is not deniable, cannot be denied. And so she's not yet grasped her mind around this God, this Jesus figure. But being my own mother, knowing me her entire life and loving on me, she just cannot deny the miracle that God performed into my life. She just knew it. And so testimony is not just something that we share so people know us more, people know more about God, but to point them to Jesus so strongly they cannot deny it and eventually prayerfully experience that for themselves. And I read something this morning, and it just really spoke to me. And in this season of my life as well, as I'm trying to learn, still learning, there's a lot of learning curves in loving one another. You're always going to meet more people and different people and trying to love them in different way. And what I read this morning is that love isn't something we fall into, but love is someone that we become. God is love, but he also said that you, my child, you're the temple of my spirit, and you, I created you in my own image. So we, each one of us here, are becoming love. We're becoming who God originally created us to be. And we're not going to ever be perfect. You're not going to ever be able to love every single person that we encounter with. But with God, at the end of the day, even if we have this negative thought towards someone, we repent, we prayed about it, and at the end of the day, with God, we would be able to love everyone that we encounter with. And so I'm a little bit back, I'm a bit sidetracked here, but back to why are we here this week? The ministry that I was blessed to be involved with has been going on strong for the past 17 years in Sacramento. And we have a wonderful, wonderful staff team. But let me tell you, I'm the only full-time intern. My staff, my team leader is the only full-time staff. His wife is part-time, and we have another friend there, she's smiling at me, is a part-time staff with us. And the rest of the staff team of other five people are volunteers from church. They have their secular job, or they already retire and just opening up their home and having students come for fellowship, sometimes host them for Thanksgiving dinner and Christmas dinner, and utilize that opportunity to share, to just do life with them. A lot of time, this host family, they felt like, oh, I cannot do this. I have never trained to share the gospel with someone, to do a presentation of the gospel with someone. But you, like I said, each one of us here are loved. And just by patiently listening to their full-on accent, English, it's a testimony, and it's love. And so I'm here speaking today just really simply to encourage each and every one of us to just consider that opportunity. Is this something that God calling me into, to love on this student going miles and miles across the ocean here in the backyard of your home, and they're from countries that the gospel is trying to fight their hardest to reach into. I am from Vietnam, and it's not as strict as some other countries' policy, but we also influence with communism. So the churches in the north, where I came from, are very closed door. They let you visit, but they would never ask you a further question. They would never share the gospel with you. There are other people who are working their hardest, but it's a very minimum amount. And so I have tried to go into church at least 3 times back when I was in Vietnam, but I was never even beside the name of Jesus, knowing a single thing about the Bible. I was thirsty and I was trying to find the water to drink from, and yet there's no water being able to deliver to me. And that's just the nature of the spiritual warfare going on in my own country. But here I am. God brought me 16-hour on airplane here to America to do a lot of things, but one and first and foremost is to meet him and to be his children. And so there are thousands of others like me out there. They already crossed the ocean here in your backyard, and they just really need to be loved and to be seen at who they are. So just want to encourage you guys. We're going to be here until Friday. We're leaving Friday morning, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, we're going to be in different campuses from 10 to 2 p.m. And trying to meet student, believer, and non-believers. We're trying to find student leaders so we can establish ministry, have them lead the Bible discussion, and prayerfully, if somebody want to learn more about the Bible and became a new believer, mentor for them and walking alongside with them. But we also need a certain amount of student in order to make an official club on campus so we can run event on campus, and also just put head together and create events off campus. So there's a lot of things that you can be involved with, just basically simple from talking and introducing yourself and tell them who you are, and just tell them how such a good job they did crossing the ocean and speak another language and being here and trying to get an education. And it's all gone from there. Some people, something my worship pastor say at church is that just invite them once. And once they got a taste of it, they would not be able to leave. So don't tell them the whole thing. Don't tell them the whole commitment of what you're gonna do. No, just invite them. Because that's a God we serve. That's a gospel that we hold tight to. We don't have to advertise it. Just invite them, and once they have a little taste, that's it, they're in. So thank you for having me. And I think I'm going to hand this back to Jim.
Thank you so much. Good job.
Thank you.
Isn't she great? You know, this is, she didn't ask me to say this, but if anybody feels on your heart that you might want to get behind her and support her in this ministry, it is a great investment in reaching the world. She's a great investment in God's kingdom. And I just leave it at that. Okay, thank you so much, Phoebe. Bless you. Well, I did come loaded for bear as always, but I'm going to hold off. I'm going to put a cap on the fire hydrant. You know, when you're sharing, Phoebe, about your story with your mother, I don't know if I was the only one in this group, but my mom came to my mind, and maybe you did. Yours did too. And you remember I told the story about how those hoodlums in our neighborhood had destroyed the food that my mother had put in jars, and destroyed it by throwing it in the outhouse bowl, and my mother was in tears. And That happened when I was probably 5 years old. And my mom was a really, really wonderful, gentle, sweet person. And, you know, she just was a very calm, loving person. And I was maybe 11 years old. My brother John was 2 years younger than me, so I guess he was about 9. And she told us boys to go outside and pick some plums off the tree. And so she was going to can the plums. So we went out and, you know, and I don't know who started it, but one of us threw a plum at the other. And, of course, the other retaliated by throwing another plum back. And so before you knew it, you know how it is with boys, being boys? We got involved in a plum fight. And we were just, I mean, the plums were ripe and ready, you know, and juicy, and we just plastered each other. And we came inside eventually with a kind of about a half a bag of plums. The rest of the plums were all over our bodies. And I remember my mother was in tears. She was so disappointed in us. And maybe you've done this something like this before. There may have been somebody somewhere in your life that you know you've disappointed them, you've offended them, you've hurt them in some way, that especially because you love that person so much. I don't know. I think it's worse to hurt or offend or disappoint a person you really care about than it is to be disappointed by somebody you care about. It's way worse. That's why 60 years later, I'm still talking about it. It still hurts to think about that. And I remember how it wasn't long after that, my mother came home one day. She'd been off someplace in town, and my mom didn't even have a driver's license, so she didn't drive. So it was a big event when my mom went to town. She caught the bus down on the local avenue. And I remember her going away with, you know, she had her high heels on, and she had the red lipstick and a dress, and she looked really nice. And it was just the way she carried herself, you know, kind of hobbling down our gravel road with potholes in it and all that stuff. And she'd go down and catch the bus and ride into town. And she came back later that afternoon, and I remember watching. I was sitting in the living room, and I was looking out the window, and I watched, and I could see my mother walking back toward the house up the driveway. She had a very troubled look on her face. And as she walked into the house, I noticed it looked to me like she had been crying. Something was wrong. And then later that evening, my dad called my brother and I out and told us, he said, "I've got something to tell you. Mama's been to the doctor and she has cancer. She has 1 month to live." And it just seemed so unreal, because the impression of my mother was, you know, she was the person who, in many respects, she held the family together. I remember her sitting up late at night reading her Bible and praying. And after that, I remember her doing the same. But she'd be reading her Bible and praying in tears. And I know she was praying for our family. Because I came from a family of 8 children. My youngest brother was 2 years old. Now she's been told she has 1 month to live. And I remember thinking how unreal that could be. That just couldn't happen in our family, right? Well, some of you know that it does happen in your family. It's very real. And I remember thinking, my dad was, sometimes I told you previously about the storm in his head, and he'd be angry and violent sometimes, and he'd be yelling and cursing me and my brother and my other family members, my siblings, and telling us crazy things like, "It's your fault, it's your fault." And I took that to heart, that message that I think Vivi was saying about what her mother said. It's because not only the words that are said, it's because who's saying it. That's why it matters so much. Well, then I saw my mother just doing the things that she normally did. She would get up and take care of our family. She would cook, she'd clean, she'd do everything. She'd even come, when I came home from school, she even had my newspapers rolled up, ready for me to go off on my newspaper route. And I thought, well, maybe the doctors are wrong. You know, and she continued to live more than that month, and month after month, and she continued over a year before she finally got so weak, just almost out of the sudden. She just got very weak and frail, and she was bedridden. And I remember this. I'm saying this because, you know, it's the impression we give to people about Christ can be every bit as important as the information we give to people about Christ. Sometimes you don't have the opportunity to give the information, but you always have an opportunity to impart an impression. So it's the life of Christ, it's the fragrance of Christ in and through us. And I knew that that was true about my mother, even though when finally I was playing baseball one day, I remember I was on the Little League baseball team, and one thing happened that had never happened before and it never happened again. I hit a home run that day. I mean, I knocked it out of the park. It just, like, this big, fast kid was throwing things, just sailing by, and suddenly he threw one at me, and it looked like a basketball. And I just crushed it. And I remember later on, one of my buddies told me that was the slowest home run I've ever seen anybody run, because I was admiring that baby all around the bit. And I came in, and I remember the guys back slapping me and hugging me and all that stuff. Well, that night I came home, and that's when my sister told me that my mom had broken her leg. She was so frail. The ambulance had taken her. And so I went to the hospital, and I didn't know what to say to her. She was lying there so frail and so sick. And all I could think of was, Mom, I hit a home run. And I remember she just kind of propped herself up very weakly, and she said, oh, you did, Jimmy. I'm so proud of you. And she died that night. So those are the last words I heard. But you see, that's why I say these impressions, that God is at work in us. He was at work in my mother to leave an indelible impression of Christ in her. And so fast forwarding later on in my life, when I did hear, I knew it was real. It was undeniable, just as Vivi has shared. This is undeniable what has happened in Vivi's life, because he's real, because he's alive. And you and I are living in that story. It's not the kind of story to keep to ourselves, so is it? It's a story to be told. Amen?